everybody, and welcome to End Up Your Connectivity. It's been a little bit of a while, but now we're here for episode 375, where we take John Raridan out of the depths of the underworld of World 1-2 and talk about the first couple Super Mario Brothers games. Hi, John.
Hey, I'm back with hopefully functional internet. Actually, I think my internet seems better than yours right now, so that's a nice change of pace.
And also with us for the game club is Matt Zawadniak, who said
that's
that
me.
You did say that you would be here for every game club, and sure enough, you are.
Someday you'll make me regret it.
I felt like it might have been this time, but you're here, so props to you.
This one's not active regret. It's just like, I'm not going to be quite as excited about these as the last couple. But, like, I don't hate these games.
Nobody's going to feel upset about, like, oh, I have to play beloved classic Super Mario.
Oh, man.
I will say I would be upset when I had to play Super Mario Brothers: The Lost Levels.
I had a great time.
That's the only one I intentionally did not finish.
So we're going to talk about four games on this episode: Super Mario Brothers 1, Super Mario Brothers 2 in both of its forms, the USA version and the original Japanese version, as well as Super Mario Brothers 3. So basically the NES games, for an easy way to sum it up.
Yeah.
So let's start out by, we're going to talk about them a game at a time. Let's go with Super Mario Brothers 1. This came out in 1985, before any of us were born. But let's start, we'll go youngest first. Matt, what was your first experience with Super Mario Brothers 1?
So we had an NES in the house from before I was born. So there, I can't tell you this definitively, but there's a good shot that this was the first video game I ever played.
Same here. Honestly, I had a cousin who had it, but that was definitely my intro.
Yeah, the games that we had for that, it was Mario 1, Zelda 2, and some baseball game.
Was it baseball?
It was not baseball. I don't know what it was. It was some licensed game.
Little League Baseball is pretty solid. I believe our RBI Baseball, if it was one of the reject carts, the Tengen carts.
Yeah.
There was a couple versions of RBI Baseball. I think there was an RBI Baseball that had a regular one. There's also one that I think is just like, it's Pro Baseball or something, and I think it has the MLBPA logo on it or something. And then Bases Loaded, 1, 2, and 3.
I'm sure it's one of those. I know for certain it was not the game that's just called baseball, but past that, I have no idea.
Yeah.
And you know, I was 4 years old and we had Super Mario Brothers. You know, I wasn't going to play baseball.
We were different.
Yes.
Why not? So John, what was your experience with Super Mario Brothers?
So the first Super Mario Brothers, I didn't play until after I played Mario 64. By the time I was born, my family had sold our NES and bought a Super Nintendo. So I didn't have the original cartridge. And the first way I played it was that my grandparents got their own Super Nintendo and a copy of Mario All-Stars. So Super Nintendo All-Stars version of the original Mario was the first way that I ever played it. And is in my head, that's the version I'm nostalgic for, not the NES version.
Justin Berube would roll over in his podcast grave.
Yes. Yeah, I know it's like objectively worse. But I just, the music arrangements on the Super Nintendo one and like the actual like changing environments as you go between worlds. So you're not just looking at the same level theme over and over again. I have a really hard time going back to the NES version of OG Mario, like more so than like Mario 3 or anything like that. This All-Stars version, I just prefer so much more.
I would personally, I didn't play All-Stars for the original, but I played All-Stars for Lost Levels. Mm-hmm. And I assume the physics are the same across the two. And yeah. I would not say that the physics are worse. I would say that they are arguably better, but definitely different.
They are for sure so different.
Yep. If you got that muscle memory, it's going to ruin you.
Yeah. If you played a ton of the original, like it's definitely going to the All-Stars version. There is that muscle memory from playing the original NES version so often that I'm like, oh, this feels like wrong, but I can't say it's worse.
Yeah.
I honestly think that they're better.
Yeah.
That's how I feel too, but I don't feel like I can say that just because I played the Super Nintendo one first.
Oh, I'll say that.
Okay.
Yeah. I will like lightly agree with you with that. Because my experience with it, I mentioned it with Matt, is that I had an older cousin who had an NES when I was a kid. So whenever we would visit him, I would inevitably be playing that and Super Mario Brothers. He probably got whatever pack in that had Super Mario Brothers with that. He didn't have a huge collection, but he had such bangers as Anticipation, Silent Service, and Blaster Master. But and I think Defender 2, which I think is a HAL game for some reason. But the original, like, this was my first experience to Mario. And yeah, it's a real good game. Even playing that in the early 90s as a young kid, like, hard, yes, but like, just nothing was like it when it came out, and it still held up years later. And for the purposes of this, I actually replayed it on Super Mario All-Stars, but this is also a game that, now that I think about it, I think I've replayed it like something like 4 or 5 times in the past like 10 years. Because I replayed it, I think I replayed it on Wii U, 3DS in two forms of both when it came out on NES Virtual Console and Deluxe. I replayed it when the Nintendo Switch Online app first opened, and I played like half of it on All-Stars when that came out. And then I played through it for the purposes of this on All-Stars, because it's definitely like a little janky in some spots, but it still holds up really well. Like, there's some tricky stuff, like some of the figuring out the right pattern to go through a thing is like maybe not the
that
most
part
intuitive.
I hate.
Yeah.
I like what it was. I mean, the idea, though, of like kind of introducing some sort of like puzzle platforming element, which was sort of a thing that didn't really exist before this that I can think of. I don't think it's done great, but it's a cool idea.
I think it's generous to call it a puzzle, but
it's you have to figure out what to do. It's a puzzle in a very loose definition. Once again, I don't think it's done well.
Yeah. Right, I'll have to call up Sarah and see what she thinks of it.
Yeah, I think it's an important milestone in platformers for that, but not great.
To tie this into both a recent Nintendo release and the last episode of the show, I think, I feel about Super Mario Brothers 1 in the same way that I feel about Pikmin 1, in that, like, it is very cool to look at that and be like, oh, I see what they were trying to do, because you have the hindsight of what came next. And it is, like, for each of their respective eras, I mean, Super Mario Brothers, obviously, a lot more, just because of the, you know, like, platformers were not like this when it came out. Video games were not like this when Super Mario Brothers came out, but there are some swings and misses in this game, but it's like they're trying to expand like what this type of game was. So yeah, like those puzzles are meh, but they were trying something.
Yeah, that's a weird piece of context of the original Mario, and really like any early NES game, is that transition of like, if you play console games from before the NES, they're kind of just arcade games, but without quarters. And
yeah. I mean, if you play NES games from before Super Mario Brothers,
yeah.
Because it like Super Mario Brothers was a launch title in the West, but I don't think it was in Japan.
Famicom launched in 83, and I think Mario Brothers didn't come out there until 85.
Yeah. Yeah. The Famicom games that released before Super Mario Brothers, they're all bad.
Right. And so it's really setting up this definition of like, okay, what's a home console game? What makes that different from an arcade game? And like,
what is
a
video game?
Does it nail so much of that on the first try? Like,
I am frankly astonished at how well it does hold up, because there are times when and people have fought me on this, where I'll say, I don't think Super Mario 64 is a game that holds up as well as Super Mario Brothers NES, where there are a lot of problems that I have with the controls of that game, where they just feel bad in a modern context. And like, it's tough for me to go back to that, because yes, it was revolutionary. Yes, it wrote the book, but we've figured out so many tricks since then that this game just couldn't have benefited from. And I don't feel like Super Mario Brothers NES has that problem. I think obviously it is very simple. It's not doing as much as modern games do, but I really, besides the whole quote unquote puzzle, I would not say there's anything in this game where it's like you couldn't see like an indie game that's really small scale released with that today. Like, yeah. There's nothing that, like, oh, we've learned that's bad design besides these two levels have a bad mechanic.
Maybe the inability to run backwards.
Maybe. Yeah. But I don't even think that is necessarily a hard stance I'll take.
Yeah. I think that's a bad mechanic in Lost Levels where it can really screw you over.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Even today, it's an extremely impressive video game. I'm astonished at how much they got it on the first try.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so important to have that context to fully appreciate what this game does, because it's not just another NES game. It's kind of the NES game.
Yeah.
That like figured it out.
I'd be happy to like just go back and play it for fun again, which mm-hmm. like is not really something that I'll often do with a game this old. Like games this old, I play out of curiosity to learn more about gaming history. This one's right. like, oh, I like legitimately like this one.
Right. I mean, we did the Metroid Game Club a few months ago. Like, you put this up against the original Metroid, which is doing like way more.
John, that was 2 years ago.
Well, that's fine.
Get out. Get out.
I don't have time.
Get out.
Yeah. That's when Matt was just a young man of 28. before the dark times of 30. Yeah, I agree with you that it's just this is a game I will actually go back to and can still enjoy, even without thinking, like without reminding myself, like, okay, this was a game from 1980, whatever, which you 100% have to do with OG Metroid.
Yeah, like you kind of don't need that caveat for this game. Like,
yeah, it just works.
There is a reason why. I mean, even you playing the All-Stars version, like none of us, I mean, I likely didn't play this game in the 80s, but like none of us played this game when the NES was like the dominant console. And it's right. still something that we're like, yo, look at this. This slaps.
Yeah. Yep. Like this isn't just nostalgia. And in fact, like this was the first time I ever rolled credits on it, which like it doesn't have credits. So it's not really. But you get me. Like I've never actually like played it to completion before because I never had the saving grace of rewind to protect me.
What's funny is when you do just play straight through it, it's like, what, 45 minutes long? it's not long. Like
I didn't warp either.
Yeah,
like
no,
I played
either.
Every single yeah. level, and it was like an hour, maybe hour yeah. and a half.
Yeah. Those are good levels.
Yeah,
yeah.
I wouldn't say that this is currently the best game ever made, because like we have made advancements, we've figured out new things we can do, and we've made better games. But oh, I think
we've made better 2D Mario games.
Yeah,
multiple even.
Yeah, yeah.
I think as far as like what's the most impressive game ever made, I think this is up there.
Yeah,
and I feel like impressive game that held up, because I do agree with your points about Super Mario 64. Like my affinity for that game, I'll admit, it's largely nostalgia. Because when I went on my 3D Mario walkabout in 2020, I played a lot of Super Mario 64, and I'm like, there's just parts of this game that are terrible. Some of the controls are not that fluid. It does a lot right, and considering like how
some of the levels are just bad too.
Yeah, like some of just how it nailed some aspects of 3D right off the bat, very impressive. But Super Mario Brothers 1 like gets like the percentage of what it gets right of the total game is so high.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, so we can move on, I think.
Yeah, we can do these fast. This is not Metroid.
I mean,
they're simple games.
Yeah.
It'll probably get more difficult as we go deeper onto it. Maybe. I don't know. We'll find out. But let's talk about the game that in Japan came out a year after Super Mario Brothers 1. That is Super Mario Brothers The Lost Levels, which did not come out. I think the original NES version only first came out in... what was it, on the Wii? Was it the 25th anniversary of Super Mario Brothers 1? It came on the
it was on Virtual Console.
It was on Virtual. Yeah. The 25th anniversary had the All-Stars version, not the NES version.
Yeah.
Because that 25th anniversary disc was just the NES ROM.
Yep. Like, I have that disc, by the way.
Me too. Yeah, yeah. I was so disappointed when I got that. I'm like, this is literally, they didn't even change the controller graphic on the instructions. Like they just put the SNES ROM on a Wii disc.
It was the laziest release you could ever make. And like we have a lot of conversations about like you can't, like a lot of times you can't really call these lazy. People throw that word around a lot.
This one's lazy.
Unearned con. Yeah, this one's lazy.
This one's lazy. Yeah. This is just, it's not even like 3D All-Stars is at least three different emulated games with some light touch-ups. Like, this is just, they just put the ROM on the disc, and I assume packaged it with the same SNES emulator that's already on the Wii Virtual Console. Like, there's nothing was done. There's more effort put into the little CD and booklet that came with it than there is into the game.
And if I remember correctly, Mario All-Stars was never on Virtual Console because they sold this thing.
More or less, yeah. Yeah, I think it didn't come to Virtual Console until Nintendo Switch Online, right?
It's also not even the best version of Mario All-Stars because it doesn't have Mario World on it.
I don't think any re-release of it has ever had that. I think right. Like, the original cartridge is the only one that ever did.
Well, no, that one, the one with Mario World came out after. It was like a reprint of Mario All-Stars they did later.
It was packing.
Yeah, and it was cool because it gave you an actual, like, different sprite for Luigi. Like, it's a really cool, unique version of Mario World that, like, they just kind of abandoned. Kind of what the Mario Advance, whatever that was, used.
Super Mario Advance 2.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I did look it up. 2007 on Wii Virtual Console is when the actual and Famicom version came out outside of Japan. But it did come in All-Stars in 1993. So I believe actually this game come out after Matt was born? I think it did.
What exact day?
Super Mario All-Stars, let's see. Yes, August 11th, 1993.
All right.
Oh, there you go.
So technically, The Lost Levels is the first new Mario game released in your home country.
You and me, Matt.
If only I had a Super Nintendo growing up.
So for this, I remember playing Lost Levels on Mario All-Stars and not enjoying it that much. The first time I ever finished Lost Levels was in Super Mario Deluxe on 3DS Virtual Console. And for this, I replayed it on Super Mario Deluxe on the 3DS Virtual Console. I don't like this game. John, what's your experience with Lost Levels?
I played it on that copy of All-Stars back in the day. Definitely never finished it. I finished it for the first time on this game club. Did not warp because I knew that there were times where that game punishes you for warping, which I think is very funny. And, well, okay, so I had the benefit of save states, which definitely helps your enjoyment of this game. Being able to just, like, you get to a tough spot and the game bullshits you. You just rewind and do it the right way. That helps a lot. I will say, I don't think this game's good, but I had a really good time playing through it just because of how aggressively it hates the player. It's such a weird, like, character arc for Miyamoto's game design that like you get this game where he very clearly is just like, all right, everything that I taught you to do in the first game, I'm now going to punish you for thinking that's what you should do.
It's so mean.
It's so evil. And it's kind of, it's fascinating, but not good, but really interesting.
So yeah, that is why, like, if you ask anyone else on the Mario Party Monthly crew, what's the worst Mario Party? All of them are going to say Mario Party 1, except me, because I deeply respect how honest that game is about how much it hates you. And Lost Levels is very much the same.
I will say, I think there's some really good level design in there. And once you understand that the game hates you and kind of learn how it intends to subvert its expectations, then you kind of start to pick up on the weird backwards logic of its level design and just, like, skip all of its traps. Like, you know, it's like, okay, that's a poison mushroom. I know it is. Like, and you just don't even go for it. I can't decide if it's, like, bad good or good good or good bad or what it is. It's definitely true evil on the alignment chart, but I don't know if I think it's a good game or not.
It's the kind of thing where I think if you were to map Super Mario Brothers 1 and the Lost Levels to modern indie platformers, I think the Lost Levels is probably the more apt like through line. Just because I think there is that brand of, like, the I want to be the guy, Super Meat Boy of it all, that is just like, oh, this game hates you. Like, it wants you to die actively at every turn. And that is what the Lost Levels is all about.
And that's the nice thing about playing it in an emulator where you can rewind is that you can play it like the reason that Super Meat Boy is fine with that is because you die and you respawn immediately.
Yep.
Like, there's no real, it doesn't feel like there's any punishment to your time for dying. And so with rewind, you're essentially able to play Lost Levels like that. And it makes it so much more enjoyable.
I fully agree with that.
Yeah. And also, and I didn't know this going in because I haven't done extensive research about Lost Levels or, like I said, beat it before this. But if you play through it without using any warps, like, it's twice as long. Like, you get to the end credits and it goes, cool, here's World 9. Yep. And like, it's an entirely different world. And then there's a world after that and a world after. I think there's like, I remember, like 14 worlds total. And not like Mario, not like Mario 1 where it like changes out the enemies, like just entirely different levels. It just keeps going for a long time after it rolls credits. Maybe that's where like Mario 3D World got that, or 3D Land. All right.
So the main game has 32 levels across 8 worlds. And then there are 5 bonus worlds.
Yeah.
There is World 9, if you don't use a warp zone. Bonus worlds A through D are accessible when the player plays through the game 8 times for a total of 52 levels.
Jesus Christ.
In the All-Stars version, it's different. And like those extra worlds just happen after World 9. Like, I know they changed some stuff in other versions of the game. Like, it's not as cruel as it was in the NES version. I don't know how it works in the Mario Deluxe version.
I'm trying to remember, because I just got to the end of World 8 and was like, I'm done.
Yeah, well, what if it ends, it uses the same ending cutscene as Mario 1, so like, you think you're done. Then if you just keep going, you initially think it's doing what Mario 1 is doing, which is giving you a harder version of the same game, and then you go for a little bit and you're like, I don't recognize this level at all. And it's, yeah, it just, even after it's rolled non-existent credits, it's still messing with you. What a game. What a masterpiece.
My experience with Lost Levels, this is the first time that I ever like legitimately played any of it. Like, there are varying degrees to which I have played these Mario games at all, but like Lost Levels is the one that I if you asked me, I would never actually say I'd played it. I started playing it, and after a couple levels, I was like, you know, I don't think this game's reputation for being super difficult is really that earned. I think it's like mildly more difficult, but I feel like it's a natural it's a natural incline from like World 8 of Mario 1. And then in the castle for World 4, I get the first quote unquote puzzle. And we're bringing this in early, huh?
Yeah.
And then shortly afterwards, in one of like the non-castle levels, I get one of those puzzles again, and I turn it off and never return to it.
Yeah, they love those puzzles. And that's another area where rewind is great, where you can kind of just like go through, hear it go, and like go back and try a different one and just keep brute forcing it.
Yeah. I eventually, like, I just made the decision of like, nah, I can be good to myself. I don't need
totally
to do this.
Fair. It was one of those things where I'm like, man, like, we're doing this game club. I have never finished this game. Surely I have the ability as a gamer to complete Lost Levels. I need to do this for me. And it feels good. I don't think I'll ever play through it again, but but I had a good time.
Yeah, I don't feel like Lost Levels was too hard for me. I just like made the decision this isn't fun.
It's not that hard. It just trolls you constantly.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like specifically those looping puzzles are like the specific reason where I was just like, I know I'm not pulling up a map for the fourth time tonight.
And it's like, I think you just have to be in the right headspace. It's a little bit like playing Dark Souls, where you have to like move past being frustrated and into finding it funny. Because once you're willing to laugh at Lost Levels jokes, Lost Levels is hilarious. It's got all the jokes.
So I guess we'll move on to Super Mario Brothers 2 USA, which came out after Nintendo of America was like, yo, the Lost Levels is too hardcore for these Americans. I don't know if you guys have ever heard this, but there was a game called Doki Doki Panic that
Top Nintendo 5 changed. Facts about Mario you didn't know.
Yeah. Nintendo. It was a game still directed by Kensuke Tanabe, who is out there working on Metroid Prime 4 as we speak. But he was the director of that game, and then it wound up getting turned into Super Mario Brothers 2, where the characters were replaced with Mario, Luigi, Peach, and Toad. Definitely one of those entry level, like, you know, talking about it with kids, when I was a child as well. It was that like, yo, Doki Doki Panic, have you ever heard of that? Here's some psychic damage for everybody. So this came out in 1998. Super Mario Advance came out in 2001. That would be the equivalent of if, as a launch title for Nintendo's Switch successor, like they made Super Mario 3D Land Advance.
Good. 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 So the real psychic damage there is 3D Land was after I finished high school.
3D Land was 3D Land was a year after I got married.
Don't like that. Don't like knowing that. What I was gonna say, just like a funny little anecdote. You remember that video on YouTube of like, you know, like how many mainline Mario games are there? It's like the guy that like took surveys of his audience and like analyzed what they thought. There's like a funny joke in that video where he's talking about, that's a fantastic video, by the way. I highly recommend it. But he's talking about you know, what are the games that like, you know, clear consensus, there's no controversy whatsoever. Like what games do 95% or more of people say are part of the Super Mario series? And it was Super Mario Brothers 1, Super Mario Brothers 3, Super Mario World, and that's it. And I know what you're thinking. Where's Super Mario Brothers 2? Well, you're not thinking that, because there's no way you got 10 minutes into a video about this without knowing that.
But Matt, what was your first experience with Super Mario Brothers USA?
So now that I think on it, I was mistaken earlier. We did actually have this one as well for the NES when I was growing up. So I played this one pretty early. I doubt I got very far as a kid. But then I play Super Mario Advance. I had in my younger days. I know that I finished that one at some point in my life. And then it would be years and years before I would play the game again for Smashterpieces, where it was our game for Peach, and I played the version on the Super Mario All-Stars disc. I remember the feeling that I had for the Super Nintendo version of this game. Was that and this was early in Smashterpieces too, so I didn't like really develop my on-air personality as much. So like I got like really angry about like the fact that we played the Super Nintendo version instead of the Game Boy Advance version, because the Super Nintendo version didn't have like some of the better quality of life improvements or whatever in the Game Boy Advance version. And so this time I played the Game Boy Advance version, and the physics in the Game Boy Advance version are bad.
Yeah, they're not like, that is one where I think there is a decline from the original. I do think that the Super Mario Advance version is like wild and how different it is. And I think I kind of like the Super Mario Advance version better.
I think when it comes to like the design, I feel like for the most part, the changes that they made in Mario Advance were all great. It's just like, the mechanics of running around as these characters feel bad on the Game Boy Advance version. There was a lot of times where it's just like it was very clunky, and I was like, was it always like this? And so I loaded up the NES version on NSO, and it felt so much better. So I feel like there was definitely a decline in the quality of the game feel.
I just like all of the unnecessary voice acting they inserted into the Game Boy Advance version. Like, just Birdo will not shut up.
Yeah.
Birdo talks all the time.
Even like Wart and like just all the little like baby's first voice acting in a game is what this feels like. They're like, yo, we got this working on the GBA. Put it in everything.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just constant.
It's too much, I think.
It's a little too much.
My favorite part of it is that when like on the title screen, when you like start playing the game proper, they have like the voice line that goes Super Mario 2, and then for later Super Mario Advance games, they reused that voice line where they have Mario go Super Mario.
You can like hear the reverb cut off.
Yeah,
like, it just shuts real quick. Yeah, yeah. The Game Boy Advance audio does not hide any sins.
This game, I would say I like this game a fair bit. I don't think it has that same perennial quality that Mario 1 does, but I think this game has a lot of character.
Yeah, it's a very weird game. Like throughout all of it, it's weird, wild, really cool animations, like good sprite work, both for I think it looks really nice on the GBA as well as the original NES version as well.
Yeah, I think every version of this game has great, great art and great graphics.
Yeah.
And it's kind of funny how, like, for the fact that it's technically not a real Mario game, like, a lot of the Mario lore does hinge on this game.
Yep.
Yeah.
Shy Guys, Sniffits.
Ba-bombs are from this game.
Yep. Yeah.
Which that one in particular, I always forget.
Yeah. Yeah. I literally just forgot it.
I'm surprised that, like, knowing the backstory of the game, like the fact that they did end up like pulling for these characters from it is kind of funny.
Yeah.
I think what it comes down to it is the fact that, like, the team that developed Doki Doki Panic was I don't know if it was specifically, yeah, you know, like, it was R&D4. It was Miyamoto's team. Like, it's not like it came from, you know, it's not like a third party made it and said it was like, we're going to take it over like Tanabe did. It was, I think it was it Tanabe's first game? It might have been damn near Tanabe's first game. But yeah, his first game was Doki Doki Panic, I think. But then he went from that to working on Mario 3 after, you know, Doki Doki Panic and Mario Brothers 2 came out. So yeah. It has that connection where, like, people who worked on this game then later went to work on Mario. So even if in Japan they did not consider Super Mario Brothers 2 a core Mario game, you had dudes working on Super Mario Brothers 3 and World and later games that all had this experience of making Doki Doki Panic.
Yeah.
So, something that, like, is actually, like, not as well known about this game as far as trivia goes, isn't it a licensed game?
Yes.
Doki Doki was, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That, I think it's the characters are from, like, some TV show or something.
Yep.
Yeah. Which, honestly, like, that makes it, like, even weirder that I'm assuming that nothing except for the main characters were from that show.
I can only assume.
Yeah.
But it's like it's very funny that, like, a core part of the Mario franchise's history was a licensed game.
Yeah.
Like, more not just an unrelated video game, a licensed video game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, replaying this one for the Game Club. So I also, like, I played this on All Stars, of course. And back then, not knowing anything about Doki Doki Panic, I didn't like this game on All Stars. It didn't feel like a Mario game. And it's, I would so later learn that it's not.
One and three. Yeah.
Right. I played the Game Boy Advance version this time, just because I'd never played that one and seemed like there were a lot of changes. So that was neat. But I don't like this game. I think it's like I like the concepts, and I enjoy it for about halfway through, and then I go, like, how much longer does this game have? And then I look at that little chart that comes up on the Game Boy Advance version. I'm like, man, that's like a lot of game left.
Should have worked.
So I think this game is, like, okay. I think it's probably my least favorite 2D Mario, and I think it's too long, because it feels like it takes a lot longer to play through than any of the other, like, even three, which is significantly expanded upon as compared to the other Mario games.
It does kind of drag.
Yeah. But I would agree. I like the art is great. I think the mechanics are cool. I do agree that the Game Boy Advance version controls like butt. I don't think any of the versions control great, but I would agree that the Game Boy Advance version feels worse. But yeah, not a huge fan of this one.
So I'm curious. I'm looking at how long to beat Super Mario Brothers 1, 2 hours.
Bullshit. Oh, they suck.
Get good.
I mean, it's an average, and this is also not using save states. Like, keep in mind that too, or rewind. Super Mario Brothers 3, 5 hours. Super Mario Brothers 2, 3 hours. Lost Levels, 3 hours.
What did you say 2 USA was?
3 hours.
Okay, that feels too short.
Yeah,
I've kind of found you can't really trust how long to beat for any games that are older than, like, 2010, I think, because the it's all skewed.
Yeah.
Oh, like, nobody's playing it for the first time, you mean? Or, like, what do you?
Well, like, partially no one's playing it for the first time. Partially, like, people are playing it, like, with modern save states and stuff.
Yeah,
because, like, I look over for most times for older games, I look at the statistics on GameFAQs, and I look at Super Mario Brothers NES. It lists 13 hours, and I would say for someone's first time playing it with no save states or rewind,
sure.
I could see that being a 13 hour game.
Like, it's like they get a game over and have to start over multiple times. And,
yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And where it's like 2 hours. I don't think I see that one. It's like both. It's too long for someone with save states, and it's too short for someone that's not with save states.
Yeah,
I do. I wouldn't be shocked if Super Mario Brothers 2 is, you know, comparable length to Lost Levels or something like that. But I think the overall slower pace of the way the game moves would definitely make it feel longer than the three other 2D Mario games that we played for this.
Well, that's why you play as Toad.
2USA definitely has, like, if we want to talk about puzzle platformers, 2USA is definitely the most puzzle platformy of all the.
Yeah, yeah. I forgot the way some of the key stuff goes in the back half. Like, wow.
Yeah, and the second half of the game has some slow parts where you, like, get into a cave and you're like, okay, like, I have to solve a room. Like,
yeah, yeah. It's I still think it's a really cool game, and I had a great time replaying it. Probably the first time that I've rolled credits since the 90s. I had a really good time with it. It's the kind of thing where it is not like, this is not the 2D Mario game that I would always want to play. Like, definitely 3 in world, still top dog. I had way more fun with this than I kind of expected going into it, having not played through it in a long time. But there are some parts of the back half that, like, yeah, pace gets slowed down a lot. You get stumped. I feel like some of the enemy placements are a little bullshitty, which is also something that I feel like happens in Super Mario Brothers 1 as well at times. Mm-hmm. But I feel like there's more of a rhythm to Super Mario Brothers 1 when you're dealing with enemies, whereas this, it just kind of feels like, oh, like how could I have possibly known that guy was there?
Yeah, and they respawn like crazy.
Yep.
Yeah. It's a game that I'm very happy exists. I feel like in some ways it's ahead of its time, which is not always a good thing. It's a very ambitious game, I think, for such an early NES game. And there are some things that it did not quite figure out that would be figured out later, which in some ways makes it a worse game. But it's trying so many things that you don't tend to see from games that are this age. And that's something that I really like about it. It feels like an extremely unique game for its time. And I think it hits more than it misses. So it's just a game that's got a real good vibe to it, in addition to bringing these unique ideas to the table. So I really like Mario 2 USA.
One interesting anecdote about Mario 2 is that as a big Bertel Horberg fan, he has a game called Onion Assault that's pretty much just his take on Mario 2. And people critiqued it for having really clunky controls. And then he just showed that the physics and mechanics are directly pulled from the NES version of Mario 2. And it's just like, it's like, I don't disagree that they're clunky, but just know that they're exactly as clunky as the game I based it on. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's fair.
Yeah.
That's a cool game.
I like Mario 2 better than that game.
I think I might like Onion Assault more, to be honest, but
I did not have a good time with Onion Assault. I was so excited. I was like, oh, cool, new Bertel game, and I played it. I'm like, nope.
That's, you're just experiencing what Mario 2 is like if you didn't have nostalgia for Mario 2.
Yeah, probably.
That's all Onion Assault is doing to you, is giving you a harsh truth about Mario 2.
So we do have some listener mail related to Mario 2. Feel like it's a good time to remind people that you can email us about 2D Mario games, even the ones that we're talking about in this episode. We can follow it up. You can email that to connectivity@nintendoworldreport.com. Also, you can email us about future episodes, where next one is going to be Super Mario Land 1, 2, and Super Mario World. And the one after that is going to be all of the new Super Mario Brothers games. So you can email stuff about that whenever you want. And follow along in the Discord, where we have a channel for the 2D Mario Game Club, where we're talking about those games, and we'll be moving on after this to talking about Super Mario Land 1, 2, and World. But this comes from the Discord from Dave97, and he says, how do you think Nintendo views the legacy of Super Mario Brothers 2? Which elements from it would you like to see adapted in a future Mario movie?
What, a movie?
They already adapted some aspects. Yeah. There's a Bubomb, there's Shy Guys. I think there might have been a Sniffit.
I remember thinking about an answer to this last week, and now I've forgotten it.
Aha. I've thrown you off.
I had a thing in mind, and I don't remember it now.
I at least as far as the first part of how Nintendo views the legacy, like, it's favorable. They did reference how Super Mario 3D World, you know, like drew inspiration from this game, like they kind of called back to it a little bit and how the characters played. I would love to see them like more. Well, and I guess Super Mario Maker 2 also did have some Super Mario Brothers 2 stuff added into it. No true Super Mario Brothers 2 style, though. But I do, I mean, like, people who worked on this game are still involved at Nintendo. Tanabe is still there. I think Hideki Kano, he's still around. I mean, of course, Tezuka Miyamoto, I think, were affiliated with this game as well. So you still have, there's still legacy. And the way that Nintendo's working now, where they're bringing on younger developers, guess what these developers probably played? They probably played Super Mario USA as a kid. Because it did get released in Japan near the end of the NES's life.
Yeah.
And then it showed up on, you know, Super Mario All-Stars and stuff as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like I said, I'm not huge on this game, so I don't, I mean, take the characters, take the world, which I think they have done.
Bring back.
And I guess we're talking about, I keep thinking this question is about how would you implement it in a new game, which I my answer would be like, oh, don't.
But bring Wart into Super Mario Brothers the movie 2.
Well, the game's also an in-universe dream. So
yes, yeah. It never, also like, which makes it even weirder that the stuff from it actually exists.
Sometimes you dream about things that are real.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do Mario's dream of electric Shy Guys.
And Wart's from, canonically from Hyrule, I guess. Or wherever, yeah, Link's Awakening. Problem. No, that's a dream too. Hold on.
Yeah. Whoa. Is there a Nintendo dream universe? Like, all of them are connected through dreams.
I've connected the dots.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, have a scene in the next Mario movie where Mario frantically is running with a key from those weird mask things.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And have Wart show up at some point.
I would love for Wart to, or Birdo shows up, and canonically Birdo has to have the voice actress from this game. Delivering the lines with all of the gusto of somebody reading the script for the very first time.
Yeah, let's see Illumination and Nintendo tackle the concept of Birdo in a movie for children.
Oh man, I am so excited to see Nintendo deal with Birdo.
I think nowadays the official policy is don't deal with it.
Yeah, just don't.
Yeah, it's still like the thing where like Nintendo was like, hey guys, don't worry, the next Tomodachi Life, we're gonna have gay marriage in it. Yeah. You know what hasn't happened since that game came out? A new Tomodachi Life.
Problem solved. Well, actually, I mean, we're at a point now where, like, the most progressive thing you can do with Birdo is just accept Birdo's choices and not make a big deal out of it. So, like,
yeah,
they just, you know, Birdo's just a lady and that's fine. We move on. Now is the time.
Don't play
to
Captain Rainbow.
Birdo.
Just ignore that part.
Yeah. No, the most Nintendo move to do now would be to re-release Captain Rainbow. NOA is like, please no, and NCL is like, we think it'll work. We let you do Advance Wars, you're letting us do Captain Rainbow.
I think Captain Rainbow, the way that goes down, is also implying that Birdo is not a trans woman, but also, holy shit, that whole part is just not great.
It's
a lot of things happen in that game that aren't great. I think
it was
that
a different time.
Funny and charming in a lot of ways, and then when I played through that game through like garbled Japanese translation in like 2009 or whatever, and I was like 20, there were things in that game that were a lot funnier that now that I'm older and have like learned more about the world, I'm looking at that, I'm like, even just in Japan, how did that happen?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
What are we doing, guys?
Yeah. So like the Birdo part, like, yeah, there is definitely some transphobic shit in that quest. But also just like putting that aside, it's still unhinged. Like,
yeah.
What the fuck?
There's a vibrator in a Nintendo game, guys.
Well, now that we know that Pikmin was inspired by like weird French animated art films, I want to know what
Cousins Dachibu.
Yeah, I want to know what nutso movies they were like. All right, so Captain Rainbow. I just rented this.
No, it's
this
just the dudes
Bulgarian
from
art film from the 60s. And we're going to make Captain Rambo.
Remember Freaky Forms? It's those same psychos. Like,
yeah.
Do I think that some of the, like, I mean, it's weirdly, this all ties back to Super Mario RPG because that is the origin point. for a lot of the people that would then form Skip. I mean, Onion Games, Love the Leak. Boy, who else?
Everything is Mario RPG's fault.
Yeah,
I knew it.
Alpha Dream also came out of that too. So what I'm saying is, I hope they merge, have some Captain Rainbow references in Super Mario RPG on Switch.
I hope there's Captain Rainbow references in the movie.
That'd be great. They could totally, Mario 2 could have a fat Little Mac in it. Be a nice inconsequential reference to Captain Rainbow.
I mean, there isn't, I forget, is it Little, or no, it's Takamaru Joe or whatever is the one who wants the fuck Crazy Tracy, right?
It's relatable.
Yeah, Captain Rainbow's wild, guys.
It's a game that exists for some reason.
Yep.
No one knows why.
Yeah, let's move on to the last game, which I'm just gonna, I think this is the one that we all like the most, but also I found out that Matt has never finished this game before, but Super Mario Brothers 3, which came out in 1989, actually no, 1990. I'm looking at it, it came out in 88 in Japan, came out in February 1990 in North America. So, and this was a big deal because this came out at a point where Nintendo was on like the top of the entertainment world to a degree. Like Super Mario Brothers 3 was a huge launch. I was 2 when this came out, so I don't remember any of it, but this is definitely a game where like I had the arc of my cousin had a Nintendo and I played Super Mario Brothers 1 that way. I don't think he got Super Mario Brothers 3 when it came out, but I think he got it around the time when he like got older. He just gave me his NES and his collection, and I believe he had Super Mario Brothers 3 because I do remember both playing it at my aunt's house and then playing the ever loving crap out of this game when I had that NES in like 1995. And like this game rocks. It is super fun to play. Still holds up extremely well. The pace of the levels, I remember at one point in my life being like, these are too short. No, it's great. It rules. I think the water worlds suck and some of the pipes things aren't as great, but all the secrets, the world map, the two player stuff, all super. It's
probably
good.
No coincidence that the water world is as far as I got.
Yeah, that's when you use a warp whistle, man. Get past that crap.
I did not warp good. For a single one of these games, and I'm not about to start.
Yeah,
I'm literally playing Mario 3 as we speak. I'm in the water world. It sucks.
But it's also like how expansive this was. You compare this to Super Mario Brothers 1, it's like child's play compared to like the 32 levels here. Like just the way this expands everything, all the little mini games that you come across. It's so cool. Like I remember hours spending playing this with friends, passing a controller around, stuff like that. Like just super fun. I will say I played the Super Mario Advance 4 Super Mario Brothers 3.
the coolest That's the version I'm playing, actually.
That is, the coolest thing about that version is the e-reader levels. I do not like the way that game feels in any other way. Whereas I think Super Mario Brothers 2 might be at its peak with Advance 1. I think for the case of Super Mario Brothers 3, I'd rather replay it on All-Stars or NES.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I will. So once again, played this on All-Stars. And I will highlight that played on All-Stars after playing Mario World. Like I didn't play All-Stars until after I had played Mario World. And this, to this day, is, I think, the best 2D Mario game. It wasn't for NWR, but in a review I did for Tropical Freeze, when that came out, I would say that until Tropical Freeze came out, Mario 3D World was just, or Mario 3 was just my favorite 2D platformer ever made.
I do kind of think that I like 3 more than World.
I like World more.
What I think that 3 does better than World for me is, and this probably isn't completely true, but it's how I perceive the difference between them. 3 has these very short levels that each one feels like they had an idea for a concept and made a little level about that concept. So like every single stage almost feels like it has a unique mechanic or some unique hook that you don't see reappear as much. Like I said, that's probably not universally true, but that's the perception I get from it. Whereas World is very much just every world is a world. Sometimes you get a unique one, but there's a lot of just basic platforming levels where the challenge is just the platforming. Whereas Mario 3 will have an entire level where it's like, this is a level where you slide down hills and kill a bunch of guys. That's the only mechanic of this level. That is like, that's what we want to do in this level. You go, okay. And it's, you can get through it in like 5 seconds, but that's what they wanted to do with that level.
I'm about to make the weirdest comparison ever.
Okay.
Because this is something that I heard recently, people talking about Andor on Disney Plus. Where
are you about to compare Mario 3 to Andor?
All right, I'm in. Let's go.
Let's do it.
So what the thing that I heard someone say about Andor is that with a lot of shows that go on streaming first and like are kind of made for the binge format, they don't feel like they have episodes. They have episodes, but they feel like they're just one really long movie that was just cut up into arbitrary parts. And Andor has episodes. Each episode is telling its own story with beginning, middle, and end. And yes, they're part of a larger story that's going on.
But there's an idea.
Yeah, but there's an idea in each episode that you're getting a complete look at. And I feel Super Mario Brothers 3 is Andor, where Super Mario World is just one exceptionally long 2D platforming level that was just cut up into arbitrary chunks, I feel like.
I like, it's the kind of thing where I see the perception of that by the nature of Super Mario Brothers 3's like shorter levels. I think that stands out more. Mm-hmm. But I think it's probably somewhere more in the middle. Although I'll give you the credit that I think Super Mario Brothers 3, because of the shorter nature of the levels, is more focused in like, this is the idea of this level. But I think Super Mario World still does some stuff like that. It's just that, you know, it's elongated in a different way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm sure we'll revisit this next time when I've freshly replayed World 2. Like I've played 3 a million times. So that's always fresh in my mind.
Is Super Mario Brothers 3 the Andor of the Mario franchise?
Well, I would also say I blame Lost for that formula.
I think the binge of streaming.
Streaming shouldn't help
stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the nature of like releasing DVDs a season to be like, oh, dude, you got to catch up, which Lost was definitely responsible for that. But I think it's kind of multifactorial of how we got to that point.
Yeah.
I will stand up on my soapbox and say everybody should release their episodes like one episode at a time or release their seasons one episode a week. Don't do it all at once.
I mean, look at how well Star Trek is doing now that they remembered that they could solve a problem on the same episode they started. And like, holy crap, people are like, wow, this new Star Trek show is way better than anything they've made in the previous ones. So yeah, that's a valid option. You can do a lot in 45 minutes, it turns out.
Or you could just be Secret Invasion and do way too much in 20 minutes.
Yo, like I watched the first episode of Secret Invasion and fell asleep. And woke up and was like, oh, that happened at the end of it. And I have just been like excited to see how annoyed people are with it every week. I have not watched another episode, but like I was legitimately excited because I'm like, everybody's like, oh, they might have some kind of cool reveal at the end of the season. I'm like, they're not. I can't wait to see everybody's reaction. And
the cool reveal is that Ghost from Ant-Man and the Wasp was canonically in the battle against Thanos.
Good.
Even though that doesn't make any sense.
Good.
Putting a quick cap on the Secret Invasion conversation. Yeah, the first episode's the best one. It's all downhill from there.
Yeah.
It gets real bad.
Wow, MCU.
It's kind of fun watching it lose track of itself.
The biggest twist in Secret Invasion is that it costs $250 million to make.
I just need them to hold it together for like one more Captain America movie.
It might happen, but it will probably get delayed because of the strikes.
Like after that, we're good. I want that one, and then they can be done. Though I did really like Miss Marvel. I thought that was
I still
great.
Need to finish that. It's the kind of thing where I have been so lethargic on all of it.
I like wasn't expecting to like it. I just like started one episode and was like, the girl that plays her is just immediately endearing.
Yeah, I'll probably see the Marvels.
She's fantastic.
She's so good.
She's like also like they hired her to write the current run of Miss Marvel too in the comics.
Awesome. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, she is fantastic. Like she just, I mean, like the writing and the story is good, but she carries that show just effortlessly. She is so good.
Yeah. So anyway, Super Mario Brothers 3.
Yeah.
I love the Koopalings. Glad they're here.
Is canonically dead in Mario World.
Yes. Yeah. What is it? Is it Iggy is murdered? I forget who.
I don't remember. It's what? Whichever one. So there's the sunken ship in Mario World. It's one of the ghost houses. Is one of the airships from Mario 3, and you get to the end and there's one of those little like circle question blocks. It's the only time one appears in Mario World, just to hammer home that you're on one of the airships.
But one of the characters isn't dead though. They're all in
there. Yeah,
well,
all in it.
It's full of skeletons. I don't know.
Oh yeah. Well yeah, yeah. Those people are all dead.
These are different. Like, yeah. Those are different Koopa cousins. Bowser's just reproducing a million of them.
That that makes sense.
Or his sister is. I don't know where he gets them. Are they his nephews? Yeah.
I think he's asexual. I think
that he's definitely not. He wants to bone Peach real hard.
Yeah.
If there's one thing I know about Bowser,
might just do it for pleasure. I forget about maybe he just reproduces on his own. He just like
technically we only know that he wants to marry Peach. He's never said any more than that.
You can see it in his eyes. He does refer to Peach as Bowser Jr.'s mama.
Yeah.
So,
okay, the wildest part about that, though, is that, like, Peach's immediate reaction implies that it's plausible.
Listen, we don't know what Peach gets up to.
I mean, I can't wait until there's it'll be like Anuma talking about the Twilight Princess's aunt next day.
Yeah.
But, like, it's just I forget who directed that. Is that Koizumi, I think he directed Sunshine. He'll just be like, I don't know, there was some artist that was like just rolling with him. We just let him work. He came up with the whole story. It was weird.
That's the thing that I want to see the next Mario movie deal with. Bowser Jr. just shows up and Bowser's just like, yep, that's your kid.
Oh, dude. Mario's just like, what? That would work. That would work
really
well. It would
be so good. It like causes a real relationship rift between Mario and Peach. That's the plot of the second movie.
Yeah,
it's all set up for you.
Anyway, Super Mario 3. Yeah, it's a fantastic game. I think I come out where I think I still like World more, but other than that, I've been pretty consistent with liking World more. Like at the end of the day, it's like 1A, 1B. These two games, they're both incredible.
Yeah, they're both great. 3 is just better.
Yeah, I don't mean to imply that I don't like World.
Yeah, because World rules as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah, World would have been the first 2D Mario game that I played. I should save this when we're talking about World, but
yeah,
which will be tons of nostalgia episode. For that game.
Any as we kind of wrap up, Mario 2D Mario games on the NES. Any final thoughts? Any what are your rankings of these four games?
Ooh,
well, 3 on top for sure.
Yeah, that's easy.
Then I'd probably put 1, then 2, then Lost Levels.
I would agree. I might actually swap 2 and Lost Levels, but otherwise I agree. I just don't like 2.
I actually had, I like jotted this down after I played them. And I had, 3 on top, Lost Levels at the bottom. And I just had a question mark next to Super Mario Brothers and Super Mario Brothers 2 for their placement. But I think I'm going to put Super Mario Brothers 1 at 2nd and Super Mario Brothers 2 at 3. Which aligns with before I played any of them, a heat check of my ranking, and it aligns with what I had in my ranking, where I had out of these 11, I had Mario 3 at 2, Super Mario Brothers 1 at 4, Super Mario Brothers 2 at 7, and Lost Levels in last.
It's going to kind of be tough for me to rank games in this the further we go on, because like I don't have a ton of really strong opinions about 2D Mario, I think. For me, 2D Mario is like a really consistent 8 out of 10.
Yeah.
Where like every single time I play one of these, I know it's going to be a good game. I know I'm going to have a good time. And like it's remarkable that they keep up that quality so consistently, but they never get to the point where I'm like, oh, this is one of my all time favorite videos.
I think I kind of agree with that at this point. Like I really like World. I think on my 5x5 grid, I think World might be there, but it was the kind of thing where there were definitely games when I was going through that exercise of, like, what are my top 25 games? Like, there's a number, like, a lot of Zelda games, a lot of Metroid games. I was like, I could probably make an argument to just include, like, most of the Metroid games and most of the Zelda games on this list. With Mario, if I have, well, I do have Bowser's Fury on there, but from a 2D perspective, I think World is the only one that I even considered, and I don't even remember if I put it on that list.
Yeah. I'll be interested to see if I have the ability to rank the new Super Mario Bros. Series as individual games. Because in my head, that's just one amorphous blob of okay Mario.
I do. So if I closed where I had my like heat check ranking, I think I had New Super Mario Bros. U, I think, stands out among those four. And I'm going off of I played New Super Mario Bros. U when it came out on Switch. And that was the last time I played a New Super Mario Bros. Game. I think U stands out. I have a huge soft spot for New Super Mario Bros. 2.
Same.
Because I think the gold aspect of it is like, I wish they went farther with it, but it's a good hook. And I think some of the level design in that game is very enjoyable. Like the thing that I said at the time when it came out is I 100%ed that game. I don't think I 100%ed any other New Super Mario Bros. Game.
Yeah, people gave that game shit for the whole gold thing, but it's like, what did that actually change about the video game?
It did really hammer home the idea that lives are a meaningless concept in modern games.
And also, yeah, thank God they did.
Yeah.
You collected a lot more gold coins. It was fun. Like,
yeah,
there was some of like those little like the runner segments like that. Those were enjoyable. Mm-hmm. Like I had a good time with that game. I think that when I revisit New Super Mario Bros. Wii for this, I think that game is going to suck. And I think DS, I have a memory of like that being the worst of them. But I think replaying that will probably be a little bit more charming going back than I remember it.
I'm going to play them all in a waking dream at the same resolution and see if I can tell which one I'm playing.
Find a randomizer. Just like,
do the Pepsi tests, post the screenshots. I mean, side honestly, by side.
Because I will say Wii, U, and 2 all use the same assets and all use the same animation. Like, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, DS, you'll be able to tell.
But even then, DS uses the same animation. They just use slightly different assets. But once they made those Wii assets, they're like, we never have to build Mario again. And like, they just stuck with it.
I bet with a little bit of like thought and like effort, like I could rig a setup with like RetroArch and save states where it's like legitimately you just go into RetroArch, you load a save state, you don't know which one you're playing, figure it out.
And I would be terrified to know how long it would take me.
We should do that.
Yeah. Because honestly, like, they're all so similar.
Some of it might be like if certain power ups show up, that might be a tell.
But like between you and we, like, unless you get the Van Gogh stage, which.
Well, and also there's the squirrel suit or whatever, like that's just in.
Yeah, view. But I'm just saying, like, when you boot up the level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like that we can make a stream of this, like do it over Parsec.
I would love to.
Let's do this.
But do give it like give people like a time limit. Like you start the level and you have like 3 seconds to identify which game it is. Because I'll bet it would be hard.
We're not going to be doing New Super Mario Brothers until I don't know. We'll probably start that. I mean, because that's going to be a lot more to play compared to the next episode. That'll be sometime in September. We'll record it. Hopefully we'll start on that late August, maybe.
Are we playing the 3D Place games?
No, we're not.
Okay. Drawing the line in the sand for what counts.
I mean, it's a little bit when John and I hashed out this list, it was a little bit like we only have 3 months if we want to do this before Wonder.
We have 3 months. And also there are certain games that Neil and I don't like as much.
I'm like, I'm in the camp of like I don't want to take like the phrase 2D platformer so literally in the way that I don't think Metroid Prime is a first person shooter. So I would say those are 2D platformers, but also they're also when we're building up to Wonder specifically, there's a clear difference.
Yeah.
That was I think and like that's a like 3D Land and 3D World, I think, kind of walk between those worlds. Because I think there are, like, it's just the isometric perspective. Like, that's the different thing. Other than that, a lot of the same rules mechanics are there. But I mean, really, I don't want to play Yoshi's Island. That's where I'm at.
Yep.
I'm gonna play Yoshi's Island anyway. I'm gonna do the thing I did with Other M where I force it into the game club.
How dare you? Fine. I'll play Yoshi's Story to counter you.
I'm so conflicted with Yoshi's Island because there are definitely things that I like about it. It's just that that baby sound effect is real annoying. And I also still hate the whole, like, you have to collect everything in one pass.
Well, that's just bad in any video game that does it.
Yeah.
Did they fix that in the Game Boy Advance one?
I think they did.
Oh,
there you go.
Well,
because that's the only one.
Haven't you always wanted to hear crying Mario, but a little bit more bit crunched?
Look, that's the only way I've ever played that game.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
wait until you hear that. Until like 2018, 19, the only way I had played Mario World was Game Boy Advance.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that long time where Yoshi's Island was not re-released outside of Advance.
Yeah. I will say that while I don't like Yoshi's Island, playing that on Super Nintendo on a CRT is one of the most beautiful things you can look at. Looks incredible.
Yeah. Like, it's there are things to like about that game. I don't think it's a peak platformer like a significant chunk of other people do. Next episode of this that we'll record probably sometime mid to late August. Super Mario Land 1 and 2. Super Mario Land is available, I think. It's not really available anywhere.
Land is a problem. Land 2 is on NSO already.
Yeah, yeah. Land 2 and World are on NSO. NSO also.
You could just have a waking dream.
Yeah. It will run on a toaster.
Yeah. Land 1, I'm probably going to replay on 3DS because I have that on 3DS Virtual Console. That's where I like paused because I was like, it's on 3DS. I'm like, oh, you can't get that unless you already bought it.
Yeah.
Or Waking Dream.
Land was another Smash Pieces game.
But yeah, Super Mario Land. Sorry if you can't access it. Super Mario Land 2 is on NSO. Also, Game Boy game. Both of them are Game Boy games. And Super Mario World is available in Super Nintendo and Game Boy Advance form on NSO. Which versions of the games are you guys going to play? Which versions of the game? I mean, I believe there is a Super Mario Land 2 DX.
Like, that'd be like fun. Fan.
I might try that.
Yeah, I've tried that before. Yeah, maybe I'll do that. I'll be playing Super Mario Land on a TI-83 calculator, as God intended.
I'm looking forward to talking about that game because that is one that I did not play until I was older and had blast with it. Yeah, Super Mario Land 2 was the game that I got with my Game Boy.
I'm going to be playing Mario World on on the Game Boy Advance version because NSO doesn't let you remap buttons and it's stupid to have the spin jump on anything but the shoulder buttons. Like, sorry, spin jump belongs on the shoulder button.
Yeah, you know, I'm tempted to actually like hook up the Super Nintendo and I have a retro tank, make it look all pretty.
Oh, there's even a Super Mario Land DX.
Let's just do that.
Anyway, that's the episode. Email us at connectivity@nintendoworldreport.com.
Tell us what you thought of Secret Invasion.
Yeah, tell us what you thought about Secret Invasion. Your opinions on a Zelda D&D campaign that was recorded before the show, but still.
I just want to know if another human being has watched Secret Invasion, because as far as I could tell, it's just me, Seren, and my one friend that's a huge Marvel super fan.
Oh, Seren actually suffered through it.
Yeah, so it's me, Seren, and I've got a friend who's an MCU super fan who didn't get why people don't like Quantumania, and around like episode 4 of Secret Invasion, he says to me, I think I'm feeling superhero fatigue.
Yo, like Quantumania was, I haven't been that shell-shocked at a movie of just like, I don't think it was that bad. And like over the course of the next week, I was like, holy shit, that movie was terrible.
That is the exact reaction I had.
Yeah, where like initially I was like, yeah, Paul Rudd was fun. Like it wasn't that bad. And then I was just like, they just wasted Bill Murray. Like Kang sucks. Like everything about this movie's bad.
They finally addressed the whole thing about superheroes being there to uphold the status quo and then just didn't do anything about it.
Yep. All right. Bye, everybody. Join us at the Discord to talk about 2D Mario games. Well,
bye.
We'll be here next week. John, have fun. Bye.
Oh, crap. Okay, bye.
Be here next week for Mario Party Monthly.
On the podcast?
Sure.
Okay.
Live connectivity.
Bye.
This was made possible by our generous supporters on Patreon. Check out patreon.com/NWR for all the details.